Alright, time for another DraftScience.com. Well, DraftPhysics.com. Video presentation. Debate physics also. This is sort of a debate, but not quite in the exact form yet. In the sense of my exact arguments aren't being argued, and one of them has been conceded, so we'll see. What we can make of this. So there's some basic science involved in this experiment by Despard, so it's got some value, but you know, there's so much wrong in terms of the assumptions, and you know, the comments are just so perfectly stupid. But anyway, there's four of them, but only two of them are showing up. Let's do the sort by thing. Oh, there we go. Brozo shows up. I thought he was dead, unfortunately. Well, that ought to be funny. Okay, so we'll save that for later. Okay, so that ought to add some entertainment value to the video. All right, so this is basically, he does this experiment where he's just going to roll something down a ramp. And we have these assumptions built in that somehow how far it rolls is a display of how much energy it has. When it's basically the same argument against gravity showing you that, okay, four times the height only gets you twice the velocity, and only gets you twice the energy because, frankly, you're only in the gravity twice as long. Same rules apply to friction. Friction is not, as it's assumed, some sort of great even ruler. It is not an even ruler. The faster you go, the less friction you have with a surface, because you basically fly right over the surface. So the faster you go, the less pieces of the surface you are actually in contact with, and the less pressure per square foot or square inch or square mile or square anything. So you can sort of understand that if you have a rolling object and you have a scale somewhere built into the platform, the faster you roll the object over the scale, the less the object is going to weigh. And the slower you roll it, the more it's going to weigh. So there's lots of experiments that demonstrate that this isn't a perfect ruler. Friction with a surface is not a perfect ruler. It won't tell you. How far something rolls is dependent on how fast it's going. And the faster it's going, the further it will roll proportionally, because the less friction it will incur with the surface. It'll have less contact with the surface per square inch. All right, so that's the biggie, but there's other huge mistakes in this video, so we'll jump ahead.
Can you see that?
So he's measuring it. All right, so you can see he's using a piece of wood, plank, and it has a huge edge on it, so, no. So I'm just going to draw what he's doing. Yeah, it's just, again, this is Ken Wheeler-style experiments. You know, let's forget about the real physics of something and just do a show video, because it comes out the way you want it to. Not for the right reasons, though. All right, well, this isn't the best place to leave that. All right, so it's a big plank with a big edge on it. So I show the first gigantic flaw. He says, okay, yeah, it's not perfect. It's not even close to good enough, okay? You've cheated, okay, in terms of creating an equal circumstance for the two objects in such a huge way by having this giant cliff for them to fall off of. All right, so let's go to the drawing board and just draw it. Be easier to see that way. All right, so plank. All right, with a big edge on it. All right, and so it goes up like that. All right, so and he's just gonna roll an object. Okay, with a hunk of tape. So it's the same object, so that he at least got right. Yeah, all right. So anyway, so what he's doing is just figuring out a height. So there'll be a height here, and he's gonna go, four times higher, okay, to double the velocity. So we already know when it gets to the edge here, it's going to be going twice as fast. Now, both objects aren't going to be going as fast because it's converting gravity into rotational momentum, so angular. So the whole principle is that that's the conversion. You're not really sending an object with a straight velocity. It has a huge portion of the velocity is caught up in the rotation of the mass. The masses are, it's in their rotation. And he's using an object that has all the mass on the outside. So that's also a factor. But anyway, so the speeds aren't going to be perfect, but they should be proportional in the sense that whatever speed this one will have half the speed. All right, in principle. All right, so the big problem here is, okay, so here's the roll of tape. So this is, you know, 1 unit of distance, and this is 4 units of distance. Is that in the, yeah, that's in it. Okay, so that's all he's doing. Okay, so the position is 4 units here, 1 unit of distance here. Okay, and so that'd be the same as a gravity experiment. And we already know, like I said, we already know what the velocities are going to be and all that stuff, so it's no mystery. Now the catch is here, right? So this cliff is actually 80%, okay, of this one's adventure. So 80% of this one's adventure is not going to be rolling. It's going to be just straight falling. So instead of having it gain angular momentum by rolling on a surface all the way to another surface, he has it fall off this cliff, and it's 80% of the conversion. And there won't be any conversion in this direction. So the gravitational energy down, when you go off the cliff, is all down. You don't get any of this way, because you're not converting it. So when I just drop this pen, it just drops straight down. It doesn't go forward. The only way I can make it go forward is I have to have a surface to roll on. I have to have a surface that I have friction with to turn the energy from going down to going that way. So it's, this one's only getting 20% of the energy. Is all the only 20% of the energy is going into rotating the object. Where in this case, it's 80%, okay, rotation, and only 20% is wasted falling straight down. So the ratios are exactly inverse. This one has the huge advantage of rolling much more of its total energy is getting collected on the rolling part, and only a tiny percentage is doing the straight down part, where this one, a tiny percentage is the rolling, and a giant percentage is the falling straight down part. So he got that wrong. Okay, you just might as well not do the experiment if you couldn't figure out to put a piece of cardboard or something, extend a little ramp here, so this one gets to roll the full distance. Because without having it somewhat more proportional, this falling becomes a huge factor in terms of losing capacity to convert the down into that way. All right, and the second huge error is just the friction argument, so I'll make that one. And I'll show some more of the video, I suppose, but there's nothing, it's this simple. And so, yes, he gets it to we won't do the result. Yeah, the results are, this one rolls much, much further, even more than, the 8-to-1 ratio, even further, okay, so... So it's demonstrating that there's something wrong with the experiment, the fact that he got it to roll even further than it's supposed to. It beat this one by many miles. And again, it's based on the wrong assumption. The same thing, while I have the board here, the same thing that happens in gravity, right? I mean, your first unit of distance, okay, say for lifting something off or having something fall, each unit of distance is a unit of time. And so when you're first accelerating, you don't only do this little tiny distance. And then the second, you do this gigantic distance. So it's a 3-to-1 ratio. And the same ratio exists for friction. So, as something's rolling with a velocity, it's not like here's the middle point and this is where it's going half the speed. It's not going half the speed here. It doesn't go half the speed till it gets all the way here. It goes 3 units of distance, okay, before it goes half the speed. So before this one will be at the same speed this one started at, it's going to roll 3 units of distance first. So, I mean, it's really, I mean, it's a gravity argument. Gravity, friction is gravity. Friction is what's causing the gravity, and you can understand if gravity has these rules built into how it's applied to objects, especially objects at velocity, then you can understand perfectly, okay, so it doesn't go halfway here. What it does is it's half the speed here. So this and this is the same, okay, and the other second, the other half of the time, so one half of the time, it did this whole distance. All right, and so it's the same problem. You're not detecting the energy because there's not three times the energy here. It didn't use three times the energy when it had the higher velocity because it has so much less friction. So to have the same friction, to lose the same energy to friction, it has to travel three times the distance here when at the higher velocity. And it's only when it's at half the velocity. So what the experiment he should do is, you know, photograph this with a high-speed camera or some better frame rate and see when the roll of tape dropped from the higher roll from the higher location, see when it reaches one half its velocity. Because when it's going to reach one half of its velocity is going to be three quarters of the way down. Okay? If it reaches at one half, then you have an argument. But if it's three quarters, you're defeated. Friction is not an even consumer of energy. It takes less of it the faster you go. So I've made the second argument in a way, but we can do it again. Yeah, all right. Maybe we just make it a short video. I mean, that's really the argument. I guess I could draw it in another way, but I mean, you can sort of, well, there's lots of ways I can draw it, so I'll draw it again and just explain the different ways you can understand that the faster you make something go, the less contact it has with the surface. The less contact it has with the surface, the less of the gravity that goes into, you know, the surface, and the less energy you're disposing of. So whatever energy you have, you're losing less of it, the less contact you have with the surface. All right, so he did, he fixed his measurement issue. He was measuring up the side of the board, who cares, blah, blah, blah. So he didn't really need to explain that. But look at, you know, the thickness of the board. So all I had to do was put a piece of cardboard here, you know, a box from, I don't know, Cracker Jack or something. You know, something to extend the ramp all the way to the floor. So he's taken a 2-centimeter height and almost 1.5 centimeters of it are falling off the cliff. So the shorter distance roll is 80% falling off the cliff rather than rolling down the surface. Alright. And then its floor is all uneven, blah blah blah, so that isn't good either, but here's, you can see the result. So the one roll only goes 2 of these squares, the other roll goes 10. Okay. Clearly goes much further than half, you know, twice the distance. But again, why does anybody assume that how far you roll down a surface has anything to do with how much energy you have? When friction can be just as biased as clay. I mean, where has it been established that this is the mechanism that tells you how much energy something has, how far it rolls on a surface? Oh, that's right, it was never established. It was never logically proven or demonstrated. So again, if he could show that the velocity is one half right here in the middle, so at 5 squares it's going half the velocity, then he has an argument. Because then you have this huge unevenness of, wow, you know, it had the same velocity as the other one at this point, and one of them went 5 times further, you know, or whatever, 4 times further. Then you have an argument. But you will find that it doesn't reach half the velocity until it's all the way down here. 2.5 squares away from the end, that's when it's going half the speed. So clearly in this whole length, it somehow, okay, wasn't disposing of its energy at the same rate it disposed of it in the last. So it disposed of 50% of its energy in the last 2 feet, and in the first 8 feet, okay, it didn't dispose of half, the other half. So half the energy took 8 feet to get rid of. The other half of the energy didn't get rid of, and only you got rid of it in only 2 feet. And that's going to be what they'll find. That's the truth. That's the real physics. But who cares? Because this is the, you know, minions and morons. You know, there's nobody here that gives a shit about the truth. Nobody listening. So all the bullshit wins. All right. So there really is nothing to say, you know. I mean, yeah. So we'll just do the silly comments. Well, let me just, I'll race and see if there's something else that needs to be drawn in the conversation. So I'll prepare myself for that. Didn't have the video queued up. So anyways, you can see it's a tile floor, not too even. It's just how many squares. So the roll from 2 centimeters of height, elevation went 2.5 square, 2.25 squares. The roll that went from 8 centimeters went 10.5, okay, which is more than it should. It should be 8, it should be 8.5. But just 8.75. Well, anyway, it doesn't really matter. That's what it should be, and it's not. I guess it should be 9, right? 4 quarters. So that's 1 unit plus the 8. Okay. And so instead it was 10.5. So didn't get the right answer to match the theory. And clearly the theory is based on an assumption that has no foundation in any proven science. That is that rolling on a surface creates a completely equal amount of energy distribution. That is, you convert your energy into the ground at exactly the same rate, no matter what speed you travel. And I'd say logically, everybody can know that can't possibly be true. The faster you go, the less energy you distribute to the ground. And that's just a fact. All right. Because you have less contact. It's just a fact. You have less contact. There's less contact. That means there's less capacity to distribute your energy. You only have contact with, say, peaks on a surface. If you're just hitting the peaks, you give them a little jolt, but it's a tiny percentage of how much it would be if you went all the way down the hill and all the way back up the other hill. So the amount of contact you have is so limited that you don't distribute your energy. So let's see. So there's nothing. Yeah, so you didn't miss anything else. All right. So we will go to the comments. Alright, so this doesn't feel much different than debunking pharaoh cell bullshit videos. I mean, it really is just these defenders of the conventional crap are just as lame as the, Ken Wheeler minions. Anyway, perfectly good enough basic demonstration of kinetic energy is not a conspiracy. So again, it's perfectly good enough in which way? By having a giant cliff for the roll to fall over. And it's good because you know as a fact that friction always pulls exactly the same amount of energy per square foot or square inch or square mile. You know that to be a fact. And you proved it where? Oh, that's right. Nowhere. All right, thanks for this demonstration, Disbar, and attempting to get through to Knucklehead. So, yeah, he's got the Top Cat. Yeah, that's the moron fat cat is his icon. So, like everyone has a minion, all the great heroes of cartoonism have their little dopey buddy, like Barney and Fred. So this guy is basically outing himself as a Barney, okay? He's the beta, okay? The fat, stupid beta. Oh, the fat, stupid beta says so. The fat, stupid beta is calling somebody else a knucklehead. Ugh, just too fucking goddamn ironic and ridiculous. All right. Okay, now we can do Brozo. Okay, miles and miles of Brozoisms. So much fun. Okay. I would urge you to do the one simple experiment Garam himself guaranteed would settle the matter once and for all. So what's this one going to be? I've shown a lever, okay? So let's just understand. With, you know, half mass on one side, full mass on the other side. So it's a 5-ton train and a 10-ton train. And I've shown it oscillating perfectly. We're done with this argument that somehow half the velocity or twice the velocity means twice the energy. Because it doesn't. You know, you lose. You can't argue a lever. You can't draw one. You can't explain one. You can't do a damn thing about one. All right. Simply launch any two objects. His words. So he keeps going back to a video I made maybe a year ago. Right? So, and again, there's nothing wrong with the basic statement, okay, that it'll demonstrate the truth, that because of the way they fall in gravity, okay, they're going to fall at the same rate in the gravity. And so if you have two things with one has twice the velocity, okay, air isn't the same friction problem that a surface is. And the fact is that you'll end up with a better experiment. But you didn't do that. You launched them with your crazy super spring, okay? You didn't launch them and prove you launched them at twice the speed, moron. And then when he collected the energy, so he actually did do the experiment. He actually did launch them, and then he corrected for a speed irregularity, okay? And so he made sure they were at the same speed, right? So this is the experiment he calls a debunk. All right, so yeah, we'll redo that. We'll re-explain, okay, his big lie, his big fat lie, all right, that he debunked anything with his silly outcome, all right, he's just a liar. Okay, so he has two objects, and he has one going twice as fast, okay, so this one's got 2x the velocity down here, and now he's going to crash them into the same spring. And see how much they compress the spring. Now, obviously, this one's supposed to have twice as much energy by their formula. So, obviously, if a spring is compressed, you know, this much by 100 pounds, the idea is that it's compressed half that amount by 200 pounds. That's the way springs work. So, there's every expectation that the spring would compress twice as much. So, this one compressed the spring 12.5. What was the number? Well, it doesn't matter. So let's just say it compressed at 12.5. Now, the expectation would be this, that this one that's twice as much energy would be 24. Now, because Brozo says there's a fix. So Brozo says because there's this 1.4 thing, that the actual outcome should be 16, okay, because it's 1.4 of. All right, and what did he get as a result? You know, what did he get, right? He got 14, okay. I can't remember the exact number, but it was just as far from his 16 prediction as it was from the 2.5 prediction, which would be my prediction because it's half the mass. Right. So it should compress the spring exactly the same amount because the 2x velocity is one half the mass. Right. So their prediction should be, ideally, it should compress the spring twice as much because it's twice as much energy. Even if we accept their 1.4 thing, it obviously didn't come out 1.4. It came out in between 1.4 and my result. And the reason is because the moron, although he did 5 trials, the only trial he counted was the one that was the furthest. So he did the experiment, and it went that far, and the next one went that far, and they were fairly irregular. And all he did was say, I'm only counting this one. So whatever one went the furthest, that's the only one I'm going to count. Right? So his logic wasn't very good. He should have averaged these outcomes. All right, I claim if he would have averaged them, this would have been the result. But clearly way off of 2 times the energy in any kind of reasonable understanding of how springs work. springs are proven to be proportional. You know, it's you know, 400 pounds is going to be one quarter of the, you know, of the amount. 200, one, you know, it's completely proportional. Straight line, nice clean springs. That's how springs interpret pressure. So there's no reason not to believe it should be 24. If it's twice as much energy, it should compress it to 24. Didn't come anywhere close to 24, okay, as an actual answer, and certainly didn't even do the 1.4 thing, so. Game over. Not even close to a proof or a debunk or any of the crap he claims it to be. All right. All right. Off a table's edge. He guaranteed the half mass would go virtually twice as far. No, I said exactly the opposite, that they will go exactly the same distance if it's half the mass, retard. Okay, so I said it, that is clearly, and I'm saying your prediction is it should go twice as far because it has twice as much energy. Oh, jeez. Not close to 1.4 as far as claimed by the same people. I don't even know what that means. I showed him. So this, again, these videos of his were absolute shit. We never got to see this preposterously stupid launching device that he keeps claiming is the most perfect launching device in the history of mankind. And again, where he's using a spring to push a plunger, to throw the plunger into the other object. Clearly not very logical. You have to stay in contact with the object you're pushing. If you're throwing a bullet at it, you're not going to necessarily be able to absorb all the energy. Throwing bullets is thing isn't a great way to get energy from one place to another place. They can deflect and reflect. All right. So he's just too stupid. He can't do physics. He can barely do, you know, he can barely avoid sticking forks in his eye. I showed him in my video on January 21st of this year. Yeah, what? So look, you know, look at this Brit crap. Brit reacting to American. Fuck you. I'm not an American. Okay, I'm a human fucking goddamn being. I don't belong to some fucking goddamn. Leave me the fuck alone with your bullshit. Oh God, it's so pathetic. Ugh. Ugh. Just so goddamn creepy that anybody would even do this crap. He thinks he's representing the British Empire. This is the best England has to offer, is this little fucking trolley turd. Oh, gross. Eww. Okay, that's half the mass. I've just go about one-third as far, perhaps 1.27, but nowhere near two times as far. Well, anyway, yes, go ahead. Watch all the Brozo videos you want if you want to just watch your neurons cringe. All right? They're the dirtiest, filthiest, poorly explained experiments ever performed in the history of science. You can't even include them in the history of science. They're so bad. Ken Wheeler does a better job. Okay. John Walker urged me to measure the speed as close as possible to the launch point for a result closer to proper scientific prediction of 1.4. So again, there is no scientific prediction of 1.4. Pirro made this crap up. Okay, you will not hear a Professor Lewin video where he says 1.4, 1.4. It's not in regular physics, retard. So you keep arguing for a position that doesn't exist. Okay. But I was tired of repeating that experiment. So why'd you even include this? What is this crap in this comment for? Why don't you make the assertion that friction is a perfect way to measure how much energy something has? That it is actually like at the halfway point, it goes half the speed. So why don't you make that argument, retard, and say it's the truth, and then prove it with some sort of experiment. You can't, you won't, because it isn't true, all right? You're just defending crap and nonsense because you're a fucking malicious, retarded troll. Okay, Gary forced me, whatever this is, to unnecessarily repeat the experiment by claiming his description of any object somehow obviously disc-shaped objects weren't a great idea. You don't understand why somebody might say throwing frisbees isn't a great idea. I mean, it's just so silly. Of course, I say, yes, that's not the ideal. You want them to be the same size. It's air resistance that you're fighting in this case. But the fact is your launcher was the problem. Your launcher isn't a launcher. Okay, let's understand. He can't get this. He can't even understand this simple argument. All right, that if you're launching something, okay, you're gonna hit it. All right, so you have a compressed spring. Well, this, and you're going to release the spring. Well, first you have to have a very quick release, because if there's any slowness in your release, then you'll hit the energy in little bursts and the object won't be in contact. So you have to make sure that you have a quick release. But the point is you don't want a plunger that you're pushing, because then the plunger can shoot and then it hits your object. And now you have the whole Newton's cradle problem, where you have an object of some other mass. Okay, this isn't the same mass as this. We know that Newton's cradle only works when the masses are the same. When the masses aren't the same, you can't get all the energy into the other object. So if you're using something that hits the other object, that's not going to work. You need to push it. You need a continuous contact between the spring's release and the object. So you need to make sure that nothing is thrown. That everything is, the pressure here goes directly into here. And if you don't make sure of that, then you're going to get very irregular results. But you're too stupid to understand. Those are the rules. Okay. I mean, this is just such... I mean, what the fuck is he doing? All this storytelling. Every fucking comment, every time he opens his mouth, he has to tell some whole long, stupid, moronic story. And he tells it as completely as a fable, never including the factual details. All right. As usual, I think he called me AP file for taking his words literally and not using spherical objects. I was supposed to guess he really meant. Well, you do assume the audience isn't a complete moron. And so when you say you throw two objects, you don't mean crunched up tin foil and, you know, a Slurpee. Yeah, no. Okay, so it was somehow my fault he wasn't specific. Now, it's your fault you're an idiot. Okay, and belligerently stupid. That's your fault. Okay, you can understand. You can look in the mirror and see, oh yes, I am belligerently stupid. I say stupid things and I do it over and over and over and over again. Okay, I later did use spherical objects. Okay, and unsurprisingly got the same result of about 1.3, or perhaps 1.27, or perhaps the So, you know, all of these numbers, okay, based on how he decides to collect the information. And again, all dependent on him claiming his launch devices are always perfect and he never shows them. So in all of his videos, you'll never see any details regarding how his stupid fucking launch device actually works. I cannot recall precisely, but again, nowhere near his predicted 2x as far. So, you know, and again, I did the experiment, okay, rolling little metal balls down a semi-frictionless track, and, you know, I didn't get your results. I didn't get perfect results either, because it was a kind of a, you know, less than perfect experiment, but clearly not your results. All right. His excuse on that second occasion that my launcher was too complex. Yes, that was too much of a piece of shit. Okay. A solder sucker with the piston removed, blah, 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 all this crap. Okay. Thus, and obviously the piston wasn't removed. So that, again, he's saying something that just isn't really true, okay? He still has a device between the spring and the thing it's pushing. Thus, deeming the entire experiment to be null and void. Well, it's about the most important part of the experiment is how you're launching the objects. All right. John Walker urged me to measure the speed to as close to the launcher as possible. So he's saying the same thing again. So he already said the John Walker part right up here. Same crap. same exact sentence. I mean, what the fuck? All right. I did learn that the results got better the more solidly I held the launcher platform. Oh, so you did notice that your platform might be a piece of shit. Oh, okay. So, and he never showed us those. Okay. So when I do it again, it will fix against the wall. Oh, okay. But you're still going to be using your stupid method of pushing something. All right. And I don't really care as long as you do measure the velocities. So as long as we know that you got the right velocities, it's fine with me. Additionally, I learned later on that the solder sucker moving parts made of steel were... So he's telling the whole bullshit story and he replaces them with a lighter object, which makes him... It almost makes no sense because the lighter objects are going to be even more difficult for a lighter object to actually hit the, you know, if you are launching the lighter object, it's going to be even more difficult for the lighter object to get its energy into the heavier object. It's going to bounce off, even more likely to bounce off. So I predicted the results will be better than the last time, but will not exceed 1.4. I will certainly not be anywhere near Gary's prediction of 2 distance of speed. So, yeah, more talk. You never did the air track experiments, okay? So, you know, all of this bullshit, right? He made 14 air tracks, and we saw tiny little 30-second clips, you know, manufactured for a public distribution, okay? We didn't see shit. All right. Conveniently, it is now hard to find Gary's original video. So again, this crap about somehow the videos are hard to find, which each one is numbered sequentially. Okay, I mean, it's just such a lie. And again, why go back? All right, because his indexing system does not allow anyone to find it. Well, again, it is findable. They're all titled. Okay, so shouldn't Google have them indexed? Shouldn't you be able to just put into Google draftphysics.com and then put in the title of the video? If Google's a good search engine, right? If it's doing its job and it's a wonderful thing, everybody should love Google. Lucky I know which video it is and can find it for you if requested. Find it for who? Yeah. You think this bar needs to see that? Oh, hilarious. But I guess Gary does not want anyone finding that video in his too early anymore. Too easy anymore. I mean, this is just such a nonsense lie. I'm not doing anything to hide my videos. So this is just such nonsense. I have 200 of them in the index, in sequence. What more does somebody need? Oh, he's just such a fucking piece of shit. All right, I would urge you to use Gary's electric band pin release method for launching to avoid further false allegations. So, yeah, I suggest if you're going to launch something that you use a device that can do it consistently. That's the whole point of science, is to engineer it so it can be repeated over and over again and get reliable results. Yeah, that's what I would suggest, too. I would suggest you use some method that produces reliable results. Shit. If you're using steel balls, you'll want to protect your beautifully laid tiles. Oh, you know, like he can't find something else to roll something against. But the point is you're launching them. You're not rolling them. So the whole point is to avoid friction. Look, if you launch things... So the simple experiment... let's see, we got room over here. Okay, is you're just going to shoot stuff off a cliff, so to speak. Okay, so you're going to shoot a half mass at twice the velocity. Okay, so 2V, 1M. Okay, and you're going to shoot a one mass, okay, at twice the velocity. You're going to shoot a two mass. Okay, one velocity, two mass. All right. So one of them, their theory predicts. Momentum says they're the same. Their theory predicts one has twice the energy. And the simple idea is you've launched them in this way against gravity. They're going to fall at the same rate because they're, one's half the mass, but it's going to fall at the same rate. I mean, everything falls at the same rate. So, frankly, they should land in the same place. Let me just, I have to think. So one has twice the velocity. It should land twice as far away, and they'll land at the same time. That's the key fact. So they'll land at the same time, but one of them will land twice as far away as the other one because of the doubled velocity. So the double velocity will land here. The single will land here. That's the prediction. Not that complicated. Right? And this time will be the same. So they'll both hit the ground at exactly the same time. And this one will just go twice as far because we're not using friction. We're using air resistance, which isn't perfect either, but it's a lot better than friction. So that's the prediction. And he's saying the twice as fast one only goes 1.4 as far. So he's saying it's somewhere in here. Less than. Right? So it's 0.6 less than you would expect. So it barely goes any further. It just goes 0.4 further. And it loses 0.6. Okay? So 60% of the distance won't happen. He says only 40% of the distance happens, the extra distance. Let's see the experiment. All right. On my own video, in the 21st, you might want to skip past the first 13 minutes. Yeah, you might want to skip past the whole video. That's where Gary describes his proposed experiments, which will settle matters once and for all. So why? What is your issue with finding the video if you already have the clip of me saying it settles it once and for all? It's a pretty fucking simple experiment. Do you think I really had to say something complicated? You shoot two things. One's a half mass going twice the velocity. One's a full mass going one half the velocity, and you shoot them off a cliff and you let the measure where they hit the ground. I mean, it's such a simple experiment. Is this somehow perplexing you in some way? All you're doing is avoiding friction as a way of measuring energy, and instead you're measuring it against air resistance. Again, not perfect, because actually air resistance will be more of a problem for the faster object because of terminal velocity rules. So the faster it goes, the more pressure it's going to incur. Air resistance is exactly the opposite of friction. Friction gives a free ride to the fast thing. Air resistance gives a harder time to the faster thing. I mean, unfortunately, we can't do the experiment in space. You know, in a vacuum, that would be the ideal, right? So that's ideal. So the experiment really should be done in a vacuum, because then you've eliminated both contact friction and atmospheric friction, and you'll just see what gravity does. All right, so let's put the claim to a test again. Do everything his way. I mean, you know, there's a rational, scientific, and logical way. That's not my way. That's the way everybody should want to do experiments. You don't want to do them well. You want to do them slipshod and sloppy, and you think, I don't need a lab coat. Those are your quotes. So that's his quote. His quote is, I don't need no fucking lab coat. Okay? I can have sticky fingers. I can have a ruler that you can't read because it's got so much crap on it. Yeah. So he doesn't care about doing anything in a disciplined, careful manner. He wants to do it fast, dirty, and wrong. Alright, standard neodymium magnet balls come in a convenient size, which is almost exactly double the weight of the standard steel balls used in Newton's cradle. There's no standard for Newton's cradle. Newton's cradle come in all kinds of sizes. Too silly. I found I could use a grinding wheel to fine-tune the mass of the steel ball to exactly half that of the neodymium one. By what? Cutting a bunch of grooves in it? In fact, that was why I had to construct a slightly more complex looking launcher. Oh, okay, so he's conceding his launcher is slightly complex. Maybe that's not exactly ideal. All right, using an extension to keep the neodymium magnet away from the steel parts. Oh, so one of them was a magnet. Amazing. So he knows what eddy currents are. He knows what all kinds of things are, right? So he knows it's not just steel parts that are a problem. But anyway, too stupid for obvious reasons. But if the launcher with an elastic band, the magnetism will not be an issue anyway. I think everyone would love to see that experiment done again by someone other than me. Yeah, there you go. In a vacuum would be the place to do it again. But anyway, so here's another Brozo comment. Let's see how long this one is. Oh, fuck. Ugh, horror. Okay. It's really refreshing to see when it's someone else doing experiments. So again, doing an experiment that has huge flaws in it, both in assumption and in actual practical, functional sloppiness. Okay. Although I do a few hours worth of experiments each day, so this is hilarious, but he doesn't video any of it. So he has all kinds of experiments. He's done with radar and all kinds of stuff, and he only shows the stuff that validates his own crap. All right, anyway. Our compiling and relevant experiments to Gary, so he doesn't do any of this stuff. He hasn't published anything in a month, and what he's published recently is such crap that it's not even worth notice. And occasionally other people's claims. I just don't get around to publishing them anymore because Gary invents problems where they don't really usually exist. So again, he can't take any challenge. He's such a little snowflake that if anybody makes a claim that his experiment's a piece of shit, somehow he has to run away and hide. So he's saying I have no credibility in my arguments, and yet he's afraid of them. Why are you afraid of what I'm going to say if you don't think my arguments have any steel, if they're not of any value, if they're wrong? Why are you afraid to defend your nonsense? Oh, that's right, because it's nonsense! Yeah. So he can then claim the whole, a whole new layer of bullshit. So he thinks it's all bullshit. So he thinks the argument that friction might not be a fair way to judge energy because it cheats in favor of fast things, he thinks that's just a layer of bullshit. That couldn't physically, it's not possible that friction isn't a good way to measure energy. Distance on friction. That it won't tell you the truth. He claims that's just bullshit because somewhere they prove friction's perfect. Okay, no, they didn't do any of that. That's the truth. Excuses for none. So I don't know what that means. Literally none of his claims ever proving anywhere near correct. So again, he's saying all my claims are incorrect, and yet he's afraid of them. So does that make any sense? Clearly my claims weren't incorrect. He didn't understand angular momentum when he's scooting things with a lever. He was scooting them with his lever. Okay, he didn't understand that he was converting the energy into angular momentum of the objects, and so now it matters how the mass is distributed, and it matters again about friction with the surface and how much time the object is actually rolling on the surface. Not a single one of the best of my recollection, or whatever. Your recollection, your understanding, your everything. So again, just understand, he got a result that was nowhere near, just as far from his answer as it was from my answer, and he called that a debunk. So that's how dishonest this little weasel is. He called the video a debunk when he got an answer right in between. Yeah, that's dishonesty. Okay, I've learned that he doesn't care about being wrong. Well, again, where did you learn this? Yeah, right. Because all he has to do is deny it, invent some completely ridiculous reason why all experiments showing him to be wrong are supposedly flawed in such a massive way. Well, again, I can just go back to the Professor Lewin. Why don't you just analyze it? What's the big deal, Stephen? Why don't you just analyze it for us? We know the carts are cut to a certain size, okay, that it's clearly twice the mass of cart. All right, and then all you're doing is adding attachments, Stephen. So we know there's attachment for this and attachment for that. We know there's a little weight on here, same weight. We know there's the facts, okay? We know there's a big blob of clay on here. There's no clay on here. Plus, there's not two times the clay. So I'm just saying that this analysis is pretty simple. Drawing a lever is a pretty simple thing to do. Why don't you goddamn do it? Why don't you explain how a lever can have the 5-ton train moving twice the distance over here and a 10-ton train moving one half the distance over here, and how those two things, even though this one has twice the energy, how that fucking thing can oscillate. How the fuck can that thing possibly oscillate okay, when there's twice as much energy on one side? Why don't you explain that, Brozo? You coward. You pathetic coward. Talking all this shit, okay, and doing nothing to address any of the actual points made in the actual video. All right. Flawed in such a massive way that he and his empty-headed followers can simply dismiss all results that do not suit his or their purpose. So again, experiments are important, and if you don't understand how everything went wrong because of them, okay, that when Ken Wheeler holds up the ferro cell and say, look, light's bent by magnetism, okay, that somebody has to counter-argue that or a bunch of people will believe it. And so when they did clay experiments in the 1700s, you don't understand how they fooled people. And that's dangerous in science, is to have experiments where there's a bunch of wrong assumptions, that no one proved clay was a good way to measure energy either. You don't understand how that's really important in science, shithead. That when somebody like Eddington does an experiment and says in his own journal, I wouldn't stake my life on these results, that means it's a marginal experiment, that it probably shouldn't be held up as a proof, because the guy doing it knows it's shit. Jesus Christ. But nobody should talk about any of that. Oh, I get it. Okay. All right. Okay, here we go. All results that do not suit him are their purposes in putting him on an imaginary pedestal alongside Newton. Well, the fact is that your people are lying about what Newton said and what Newton did in his life. They're pretending Newton didn't impose mv squared when he directly opposed it. Okay, he called it rubbish and garbage, and they're putting his name on it. You don't find that a problem. You think that's okay to give credibility to a theory by putting somebody's name on it who opposed it. The same thing they've done to Einstein, frankly. You know, where they're saying Einstein said something about, you know, spooky action at a distance, that somehow he was for it. No, he was against it. All right. One reason he does not is because he then wastes yet more of our time and resource addressing his infinite obstacles that things weren't round enough. So again, he's just complaining again that somebody can make the argument that your devices and your methods are not perfect. And they need to be as close to perfect as possible. All right, that's really the critique. And if you're not conceding that that is important. So you just saw Despard do an experiment where he has a cliff, okay, as part of the rolling mechanism. You don't think that, well, that's kind of flaw you really do have to correct for. There's just no point in having that big a glaring flaw in the experiment. If you're going to have it that flawed, you might as well not do the experiment. All right. The irony is his own experiments are the worst of the very worst, but mine aren't claimed to be the proof. Mine are only argued as a counter-argument that, here, I can do an experiment and I come up with a different result. That's all they're intended to do. Okay, I mean, I took the steel bars. I mean, there was really nothing wrong with my ballistic pendulum experiment. And it demonstrated that I can't make this double momentum thing happen. I can't make free momentum, you know, the one-third extra momentum. I couldn't make it happen. I couldn't create it. You couldn't create it with your air track. You know, so why are you playing a game? No details given, whatever. Well, you don't need too many details when they're just a funk of steel with a spring on it, but whatever. Nothing is even weighed. Well, why do I need to weigh a steel bar cut into, twice as much steel bar? I mean, there's no expectation that it could be off by more than a few grams. Nothing is ever measured. Nothing is ever verified clearly. Because I'm not doing anything very complicated. So what did you need to see on the pendulum? So I made a pendulum, okay? Really simple. Just a pendulum dangling from a thing in the center, okay? And it had magnets sticking to it, okay? So nothing complicated, you know, well made, well constructed, well designed to do what its purpose was, which was just to show that the two things equal each other and that they have the same weight, okay, when put at different velocity ratios. So when you change the velocity of the fall rate of that object, you change its weight. And that's what's really happening. Even when the pendulum is steady, it's really, this side still has twice the velocity. That's why it's balancing. Because it is still moving twice as much distance. All right. That's just amazing. But anyway, he changes something to make it easier for him to confuse the issue. So just whatever. Lies, lies, lies. For example, oh, here we go again. What was the point of suddenly switching the 2-to-1 lever example to 4-to-1? The purpose was is because it makes the oscillation all the more obvious. One side's moving 4 times as much as the other side. That's why. Because I had the video, it fit the frame of the video perfectly. You could maximize the effect and make it more visible. So why not use the whole effect? Why not get as much of the effect as possible? So yeah, that's why I did it. 4-to-1 is even more obvious than 2-to-1, right? There's supposed to be 4 times more energy. It makes the argument more and more ludicrous that I'm showing an oscillating lever. I'm showing it at perfect balance. So you have 1 mass over here and a 4 mass over here, right? And they're at perfect balance. I mean, it illustrates the point so much clearer than 2-to-1. I would have loved to do 8-to-1. I would have loved to do the bullet and the gun. Okay, yeah. I'd love to do 1,000-to-1 just to illustrate how stupid your physics is, how dumb and idiotic you morons are. Because guess what? They would balance also. The bullet and the gun would also balance. Okay. And what was the reason he switched from placing or dropping things on the lever? Why? I didn't switch from anything. I was just trying to point out that, you know, the lever can be used as a scale, and the scale proves the point. So I was making the argument that they weigh the same, retard. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, why don't I just make a scale to measure their weight, retard? And that's what I did. So, to dangling them off the lever. Answer, because it's a lot more difficult doing it that way. Okay, let's see. Because it's a lot more difficult doing it the way he was drawing it for a year. So, again, he needs me to explain to him the difference between the different ways you could make a scale. So, just to understand what he's griping about. Let me erase the damn board. It's such a silly gripe. All right. So I repeatedly made a reference to a lever, and I'd either point out that the lever, you could understand it as a, you know, with a bearing in the middle, or you could understand it as a fulcrum, and I draw it as a triangle. So I was just pointing out that that's how you make a balance. Now, you can actually buy scales that work the two different ways, right? You can buy a scale that actually does have a fulcrum and a little notch in a piece of metal, and then it makes the scale this way, and it has a basket down here and a basket down here. Or you can have like a Statue of Liberty kind of scale. I think it's a little different, which is more like you just have the pivot point is just, you know, you could just have a hole in the lever, okay? But all you're really saying is you just want a point where it can dangle. So you can dangle that off of a string and then have your baskets for your weights, okay? You know, so there's different ways you can make a scale. You can make this pivot. Now, I chose, personally, when I was making one, I said, well, yeah, this is easier. I just put a hole in a piece of aluminum, and I put a string in it, and then I just cut off whatever side's too long so the two sides are balanced and equal, and there, I'm done. You know, and then if I use magnets, I can move the weights to any position I want to. I don't have to have notches built in, so I can just move the weights to any position. So I can do fractions, I can do anything. So it makes for a perfect relationship in terms of, you know. And then also, when the lever's actually oscillating, I realized that it would be important for the weight to stay horizontal, you know, vertical in gravity. That if I start changing the direction of the weight, the mass, the center of the mass, then I'm starting to cause angular changes. And I don't want angular changes. So I want the weight to be down always. And that's what the magnets also give you, is the capacity to keep the basket from swinging or doing any of this other stuff that would screw it up. So, but that's all. So I was supposed to explain that to him, that he could make a lever this way. He could, you know, all the different ways that you can suspend, okay, an equal mass on either side a stick. You could suspend it on your finger. So all the different ways, I was supposed to go through them and explain to him which one was preferable. Yeah, come on. Too silly. All right. Let's see. I don't know if it's worth even reading any more of this crap. It's just so stupid. Let's see. They're drawing a year. So he hasn't done either. Just his cop-out version videoed badly with no detail about the weight of the steel versus the magnets. Well, I'm just saying the point is that they're all assumptions. If you don't understand that the lever was balanced, the fact that it balanced, so you're the one nitpicking, it seems to me. And it's quite obvious, you can see the steel balls are all the same steel balls. So you need them weighed? For what? You don't need them weighed. It's just absolute nonsense. He doesn't make a difference because the weight of the steel pole swamps whatever smaller effect of the two balancing masses. Well, it's aluminum. It's not steel. Well, it wasn't aluminum because the magnet stuck. But regardless, no, it weighed much less than the steel ball. So that's just, it's hollow. It wasn't a solid piece of steel, you retard. It's hollow. It's a hollow piece of steel. Ugh, it's a tube. Okay, so it weighed much less than even one of the steel balls. Ideally, the lever should weigh nothing. Yes, it weighed almost nothing, frankly. It weighed less than one of the steel balls. I'll make that assertion. The bare minimum we can expect of an experiment is to use aluminum and tell us the weight of the object. So again, the absolute fact is the weight of the lever has no effect. So it's just a lie to say it does. I could make the lever literally out of 10 tons of steel. And theoretically, I can poke one side. And the energy will go into that side. And then it'll move the other side and blah, 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 blah. The lever still works. It doesn't matter as long as I have an equal mass on either side of the fulcrum. It really doesn't matter because all of that action is completely erased. It can't have an influence. So it's, again, you're not understanding the physics. Let's see. Yes, but ideally, yes, it'd be great to have a weightless lever, but it was very light. So the point is it really wasn't an issue in the experiment. It had nothing to do with the fact the only thing that was causing the oscillation and the effects was the mass of the objects. The bare minimum we can expect of an experimenter is to use aluminum. Well, whatever this is. Yeah, says Brozo. All right, put it this way. He could use a steel grinder weighing half a ton as a lever, then balance it with a few grains of rice. Yeah, so exactly. So you've already you're conceding that your previous paragraph is absolute crap, as you're conceding that it doesn't matter how much the lever weighs. But it would all be meaningless because the massive weight of the steel grinder would swamp the much smaller effect of the grains of rice balancing against each other. Says you. So why don't you do that experiment and prove it? I mean, where did you do this experiment where you prove that a heavy lever can't be moved? Okay. The lever needs to be as light as possible to avoid this snag. Well, you say it's a snag. You don't have any evidence it snags. It suits him to pretend that... So he keeps assuming that it was a solid steel bar. So that's your assumption, Steve. So your assumption is that it was a solid steel bar. No, it was a hollow tube. Okay. So, it's just too stupid. All right, we'll just jump ahead. So why doesn't he try doing this with a steel grinder and grains of rice? Why would I bother doing... I don't even know what a steel grinder is. So I don't even know what you're talking about. And rice. So I don't even... Why would I do the experiment any different? The experiment perfectly illustrated the point. That the two objects have the same mass, okay, when placed at these locations in space, And that once you oscillate that system, the system oscillates perfectly, meaning there has to be the same energy on both sides. Answer, because most people would then notice immediately that his experiment doesn't seem quite right, because it isn't. So he keeps saying it isn't quite right. What was quite wrong about it? Can you draw a picture of a fucking lever and explain to me how you can have twice the energy on one side of the lever? So I have twice the energy over here that I have over here. Show me any lever that can do that, that can perfectly oscillate for, you know, 50 oscillations, okay, as it slowly loses the energy to the tiny little losses to the fulcrum and air resistance. So it loses the energy very slowly and evenly and oscillates down to nothing. You explain to me how you could have twice as much energy on one side of that lever. Explain to me how that could possibly be real, the truth, a fact. But he won't do this because he can't do it. He can't make that logical. It's impossible to make it logical. It's impossible to make it a truth. All right. Okay. And we could go on and on. Yes, making up more bullshit. Okay. So he complains about irrelevancies being raised about methods of doing experiments, and then what does he do? He raises irrelevancies, something that isn't a fact. The lever, in fact, was lighter than the objects on the lever. The mass of the ball bearings was more than the weight of the lever. All right. Anyway, despair, well done. So, well done in no way that anybody else could understand. Okay, that is... not well done. Wrong assumption that this is a way that you measure how much energy something has, how far it travels against friction. First mistake. Second mistake, yeah, you don't roll things half the way and then drop them the other half. Okay. One day I will surprise everyone by actually showing some of the experiments which already disprove almost every piece of garbage he has claimed in the past year. So again, all this promises, we've had all these promises of the proof, and the proof never shows the fuck up. He is such a compulsive liar. If he had any of this proof, he would have shown it long ago. Look how bad his videos are. Look how desperate he is to have a truth and a proof. And he can't produce one. So again, empty threats of his grand proof of something. It's just going to be proof again that he can't do experiments where shit. Okay, I mean disprove in the normal sense of the word. I know everyone likes to say we can't prove anything. No, everybody doesn't want to say that. I say you can't do anything that's a reasonable proof. You claim you prove something, the claim is a pile of shit. You're a liar, okay? You don't follow any kind of scientific method. You don't feel obligated to have any credibility. You've been caught in lie after lie after lie. It is not a disproof, okay? When my answer is 12 and your answer is 14 and you get the answer 13, you haven't proved somebody wrong, fuckhead. That's called lying, okay? When you claim you prove something and it's not even close to a proof, it's called a fucking lie, and you're just a compulsive liar. Without being pedemic, I can prove I'm not Mickey Farley. He loves to pretend everyone he doesn't like is actually just Mickey Farley. Well, isn't it the truth that Mickey Farley has had a few hundred identities on the internet, that he's stolen other people's actual identity, he's faked their channels, he's spoofed their channels, he's posted comments in public rooms under other people's names to try to make it seem like the other person said these things? Okay, he is a despicable, lying sack of fucking goddamn shit on the internet, and anyone who defends him is just fucking, you're just covering yourself with the same kind of tactics. This is how you would attempt to win an argument, is you would pretend to be somebody else, commit a crime looking like them, you know, wearing their sunglasses and wearing their clothes, and you'll go commit a crime, an actual physical crime in the world, you'll go kick a pregnant woman in the belly, okay, and then you'll run away and try to have him arrested for the crime. This is how you win arguments, huh, fuckhead? I mean, you're such a despicable person. There's absolutely nothing about Mick Farley that can be defended. His behavior is outrageously unethical and indecent. He is a lying, slandering, faking, phony of a person, okay? He is fake news all over the goddamn place. And here you are defending this fuckhead. Why are you doing that, you scum? After all, he believes all his other BS. So again, nobody, I will not have to explain to other people that have seen anything of Mick Farley's behavior on the internet to have to defend the idea that, yes, you have to be suspicious of every motherfucking account that shows up on anybody's channel because of these liars. Because of these fakers and these phonies who are given license to do all of this lying, and they're defended by these assholes like Brozo. This is why society sucks. This is why our culture is diminished. It's because dirty, filthy, small-minded, petty little weasels like Brozo will empower the guilty. They embrace thieves and liars. They love them. They love people who go to the store and eat grapes, you know, and peel bananas and don't pay for their food and drop it on the floor. He loves those people. People who wear your clothes before you get to buy them at the store. He loves those people. People who spit or piss in your food. These are the kind of people he thinks are meritorious and need to be defended. God, you're such a piece of scum. Anyway, I can prove Gary talks complete horse manure about the kinds of physics I am able to test at home. Well, yes, he can test it at home with his little homemade Brozo does science kit. You can be a Brozo too. Time to play the Dr. Pepper music. Okay. Or have a reasonably good education experience. Bullshit. Electrical. You don't even understand. So again, he thinks he understands electrical theory. I'll say it again. So he believes in amps times volts. Okay. Not volts squared. But he doesn't believe in mass times velocity. When you could understand that watts and joules are exactly the same thing. You can convert a joule right into a watt. So why would you think, okay, that amps times volts doesn't need a square, but mass times velocity does? Yeah, you have to be too stupid. To a qualified electrician. Yeah, right. Qualified by what test? The British test. Okay. His claims about electricity have us doubled up laughing. Yes, well, your degree in electricity has me doubled up laughing. Okay, because yes, you're an idiot. You're a street cleaner. That's what you are. Okay, that's your qualification. That's what people pay you to do. Okay, so fuck you. All right. So enough of it. Yeah, sorry, turned into a Brozo comment. But that's what you get, Disbar. See, you're going to let these trolls own your channel, and their rhetoric is going to be your rhetoric. It's going to be on you. You're creating the medium for it. You're endorsing it. So don't stay on the subject. No, get on a completely different subject and make a bunch of claims that you can't prove. So anyway... Yeah, so we're just waiting for somebody to draw the lever and explain how it works. So let's see when that'll ever happen. Well, somebody will explain how there can be twice as much energy on one side of the lever. All right. Or four times as much. Or 10 times as much. And how, if that's possible, then levers are free energy devices. And we never knew it? We never figured out how to exploit the free energy lever? Jeez. I mean, you people are in such a deep hole, and all of this, all this antics, and all you have to do to get out of the hole is draw a lever and explain how it makes sense that it's going to be twice as much, or four times as much, or 10 times as much energy on one side of the lever as there is on the other side, and it would perfectly oscillate. Just explain that. So, enough of a video. So this has been draftphysics.com. Debate physics also, but look, we see the character of the debate. Ew, it all goes right downhill into the cesspool. All right, till the next time and such, so forth and whatnot.